Hey, what's good, y'all? It's the kid, Jared Sanders, aka Mr. Hope is Dope, and you now tuned in to Pin Game 101. Check out Talk to Me Nice, Friday, March 1st.
Yeah. Check the pin game, check the pin game. Got your favorite rappers going insane. Then we run the gauntlet like the end game. So what you waiting for? Check the pin game.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? We are back. It's been a minute, but Pen Game 101, and I'm super excited because each of us on here, me, Cutright, Luke, we all talk to Mr. Jared Sanders on the side, and now the three of us get to talk to him together, talk about his new album, Talk to Me Nice. As he told us before he went on, he's back outside. We're back outside. Let's all be outside together. This is episode 18 of Pen Game 101. Cutright, why don't you take us into, let's not even let Jared get a word in. Why don't you take us into Build a Bar, and that'll be his first words.
Hey, look, you already know what it is. It's time for the Build a Bar. Yeah, I'm saying your boy Sway say, welcome to the land of the hyenas. I don't even know that's how I chained it. That sound like a baboon. You know what I'm saying? But listen, here, this is how we starting it all. Build a bar. Since you Mr. Kendrick Lamar out here with the bars and such, man. We got to put the bars to the test at the top of the mountain. I see you, Thanos. Let's see what's going on with these words. What's going to happen is I'm going to throw you a word and you got to rhyme. You got to build the rhyme off it. You got to build the rhyme off it. Now, you ain't no regular degular. So I had to come with the vocabulary that fit. You know what I mean? Your status, bro. Are you ready to go through this thing right here?
I guess we shall see, man. I guess we shall see.
All right. So check it out. So the first word, sophisticated.
Okay. All right. So the competition gets eliminated. Everybody who competes, I like to demonstrate it. Intricate flows and cons and pros. You get intimidated. And you said the word is sophisticated. Sophisticated?
Yeah, okay.
Pristine bars, they so sophisticated. Like, hey, I'm back outside a little bit.
You trying to build a scheme? I see you outside. COVID was over 2 years ago, bro. You should have been outside. No excuses.
Yeah,
out here,
whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Look,
whatever.
Man, yeah, I mean, look. All right, so the next word, Abbott Elementary.
Hold on. I got to write this down because I like looking at the word. You said Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, it is called Build a Bar. So Jared is actually seems like he's going to build the bar right now.
This man got the blueprint.
Yeah. Let's see. Scientists with the flows, a lot of chemistry, acrobatics with the pros. I do it. Let's see. Abbott Elementary. So let's try this again. Intricate with the pros, common down the middle with symmetry. I paint pictures with flows. I do it vividly. All these rappers, my sons. I'm giving chemistry. I raise them up from the school like Abbott Elementary, like something like that.
Okay,
something.
Now, if y'all don't
I gotta
know
see
what
it.
You're
I gotta see it. That's,
bro. Is
that's
that it's
key.
Not just the rhyming of the words, but as an MC, there's schemes that's being
built
by
see
looking
it. You
at the
see
word.
It.
You know what I mean? All right, Sailor word. Moon. Sailor Moon.
Okay, Sailor Moon.
Fighting evil by moonlight.
No, I used to like Sailor Moon.
Like Sailor Moon.
I used to like Sailor Moon a lot. Let's see. In my old life, I used to pay a goon. Bringing out four or fives, I try to spray the room. Let's see. Put on the shiesty, and I portray your doom. Me and my four kinfolk looking like Sailor Moon.
So you said three down, three more to go. Greco-Roman.
Oh my God. All right, bro.
Oh yeah, bro. I'm coming with the vocabulary, bro.
You're wilding. The pen game man, I sketch so potent. And all of y'all ashy. I bless all of y'all ashy, project those flows when I wrestle with the pen. And I wrestle with the pen. It's I'm a knock those doughs in. German suplex is how I Greco-Roman or something like that. Oh man, this is
hey,
you're wilding right now.
Yo, sir, you know this is my favorite. I'm enjoying this. The sweat is pouring.
But it's
down.
It's a good, it's you good acrobatics. Mean? It's good practice because I ain't done this in a while.
Yeah, you know I mean, I hear the gears turning. All right, look, yeah, I'm gonna throw you a wild ball. Pause. Ambidextrous. It's ambidextrous.
Now, do I gotta pronounce it that way?
Nah, yeah, bro, as long as you know what it is.
Ambidextrous. Ambidextrous would be the word.
Oh, I thought ambidextrous. Excuse me if I
let me think. Spell it for me. Ambidextrous.
You ain't gonna get me to lie on this camera. A-M-B-E-R dextrous. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Sharp with the mental, I show you what a weapon is. I come from the block, my homies always treacherous. I'm good with the left, I shoot it when the weapon lift. I'm good with the right too, I'm ambidextrous.
He even said it wrong. Bro. He even said it wrong, just it's like you. Right,
son. To it's make it work. You got to make it work.
He did it for
work.
Me, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If Eminem could rhyme orange with orange and make
right.
it work, bro.
Slant
you know
rhyme,
I mean?
Man. Slant rhyme
like
is
Isotoners.
The
you know what I'm saying? And Apollonia, bro. Listen, right. We can do it, bro. Stretch.
Right.
Stretching out. Bro, right. Dot. Shout out to Dot. You don't know about that, though. Me and Jano. Reach God. I'll just... All right, your last word. Buttermilk. Biscuits.
Buttermilk, like singular?
Buttermilk biscuits.
Okay, it's got to be plural.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Man.
Got to rhyme the
wild.
Syllables and all. Buttermilk biscuits.
Cutright's like, yo, I'm going to give you a word. Here's a sentence.
let me think.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Buttermilk biscuits. Okay. This is tough. Off the top of the dome, I get descriptive. I put it down on paper, I give it vicious. Home cooked meal. You catch the wits, kid. But it's all baked hot like buttermilk biscuits. Yeah, you know,
there we go.
Not bad, not bad for
it. I gave the toughest one ever, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was about to look at Galapagos, Greek words.
Not
you know
bad,
saying?
Not bad.
Hermeneutics, all that, bro. But you did it. Congratulations.
Not
and,
bad.
And you got better as you went, too. So you warmed
right.
up. You warmed up for those buttermilk biscuits. You had those warm biscuits ready to go.
Yeah, taste man. Hit me with the cold start, man. You can't taste have me out here cold starting like that, man.
All right. So now that you did that, say what's up to the people. Now you could say hi to everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, now. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Obviously, I'm not a great freestyler, but in any event, man, I'm the kid, Jared Sanders, a.k.a. Mr. Hope is Dope, a.k.a. Mr. Talk to Me Nice, a.k.a. G-O-M's newest gunner. Well, not newest, but I'm definitely the last of the new ones, you know what I'm saying, outside of Monster Tarver, because he older than me, so I'm going to say I'm newer than him. But yeah, man, I'm just out here trying to do my thing. I'm a dad, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm a husband. So I'm just happy to be back outside again, dog.
First track of your album, Talk to Me Nice,
right.
Is Morning Devo. So basically, I'll hit you with the song. Whatever comes to mind that you want to tell us about it, and then, you know. Mostly cut right for this part. We'll have like a specific question geared towards that song.
Yeah, so I mean, Morning Devo, truthfully, this whole creative process for the tape was actually kind of interesting because normally I use the tapes to warm up for the albums. I actually kind of did it in reverse this time, right? So like I created the album first and then I had the freedom to create for the mixtape. Like, cause I wanted to make some, you know, the way I had the original intention for what was gonna be the next album was I was gonna have one CD be all like singles, like all bangers. And then the other one be really introspective, right? And what ended up happening is I just could not write no bangers though. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't write nothing. Like, so I was very introspective and very meditative. So I didn't even really get to, you know, flex at all until the project was done. So Morning Devo ended up being one of the first records I got to be like, all right, so I'm still kind of on this introspective momentum, but now I feel like I have the freedom to, you know, really start putting some words together well. So Morning Devo really just gave me a chance to try different flows and different cadences and, you know, get more choppy with stuff because the album, I didn't really get to do that too tough. Like, so I was like, all right, well, now we back outside again. So I started realizing, oh, okay, I'm starting to lace it again. You know, so that's when, you know, Talk to Me Nice ended up coming together, and Morning Devo more specifically was like the beginning of that process.
Right. So listening to the record, I say, you know, that you kind of kicked it off with a last time on Dragon Ball Z type of recap for the whole journey of 4 or 5 years, including like the ministry, jumping into full-time ministry, dealing with the financial instability that sometimes accompanies that decision, how it affected your marriage and your confidence. How important to you is it to you as an artist to be fully transparent in your music when writing a record?
For me, I think it's really the only way to be. Like, I feel like the real is going to remain. Like, ultimately, I feel like, you know, the people that's, you know, out here having fun, that's great. That's great. But the space that God's got me in is like, everybody's rapping about how God is good. Like, he got me rapping like, okay, explain why. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't just leave it there. You know, don't just say, you know, everything is a turn up, you know, these days, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? But bro, I'm approaching 40. I don't got time for that. Like I don't got the time for all that. So for me, I'm just kind of on some the real is what's necessary. That's the stuff that's gonna live on. That's the stuff that's gonna really minister to people and sit with people.
Right. Now, on this song, you had a particular set of four bars I wanted to pick out. You said, it's not a prize if you can spot the wicked. Milk or meat is not the problem, homie, it's the competition. Culture of the game never mattered if the gospel missing. Pick a side, you either be a prophet or a politician. What inspired these bars?
Yeah, that just taps into, you know, really the space. One thing that I will say, like, in contrast, what Christian hip-hop creates is the alternative. But it creates a very stark alternative to what's being offered by the world. And so, like, if you can spot the wicked, you know what I'm saying, it's out here, like, the whole, and it's really an encouragement to the Christian hip-hop scene to really take a stand and pick a side. Like, it's not a prize if you could see, even in the believers, amongst the believers, you could see where they get their influences from. Like, if you could see immediately, okay, they got it from that person, and that person be talking some crazy stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm saying, however, that milk or meat is not the problem. Like, if you want to turn up, that's not a problem. If you want to have heavy content, that's not a problem. The problem is when the milky versus the you know, weighty conceptual Christian hip-hop artists start beefing with each other, like they're at odds with one another. The culture, the genre, it didn't matter for us if the gospel was missing. So I'm saying pick a side. Like, you know, the line in the sand is here. Like, the world is getting more and more wicked. Pick a side and stand on it. That's really what I wanted to say.
All right. The next track is 300ZX. Am I saying that right? Is that how it's supposed to be said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot, I used to have a T-top 300ZX. It was a 1987. My pops let me borrow his sky blue T-top Nissan 300ZX. It was fire. And what ended up happening is
that car brings back memories, right? And one of the memories specifically that it brings back is what a time that was. I mean, like, what a time that was, what a difficult time and season that was. And so in specifics, 300ZX really talks about how, you know, I was, you know, involved in, you know, some criminal activities, and I got away from that. But, well, at least I thought I did get away from that. And then next thing you know, I found myself being held up at gunpoint. I've talked about it on other records. If you've heard Daylight Savings Time, I talked about it on the intro. If you've heard the Gift of Gab project, Gift of Gab 2, I talked about it on Slick Rick. I actually got it on another record called Food that I think I leaked on Instagram for a little bit. But I really kind of, you know, addressed that on 300ZX. And it just felt like dreams and nightmares, dog. Like, when it felt like listening to Meek Mill Dreams and Nightmares. So I was like, all right, let's hop outside for that too.
Okay, dope. Kobe's back.
Ah, I mean, Kobe is... That's my Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like, contrary to popular opinion, that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on Kobe for sure. And so because of that, at the same time, like, I used to feel like I was a grinder in the Christian hip hop scene, right? So, like, prior to the 4 years of absence, I felt like I had dropped, it was like 10, 11 projects in 5 years. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, almost two a year. We was on people's helmet. And so that time of silence allowed me to kind of process things, see what I could provide to the game, see what I could provide to the space, and then decide to create something. And so Kobe's back was like me, you know, Mamba mentality. Like, all right, Kobe's back. We back outside again. So, yeah, that's really what that whole record is about. It's just talking heavy, you know?
Right. So now, in a few bars into the album, right after that crazy Fresh Prince bar, I ain't even gonna mention it. You know what I mean? You said that we are not alike. They're using the gospel in their records. Like, what are your thoughts on a seemingly new wave of secular artists who just jumping in the box, you know what I mean? Throwing Christ on the record just to get a buck, you know what I mean? Like, I know when it comes to the thought of Kanye, there was a real hope, you know what I'm saying, that was going on and that Christ was transforming his heart. But outside right. of Kanye, we, you know what I'm saying, we got artists like Lil Nas X, and now they got what's bro now is talking about Tyson Briller Tyson. I forgot dude's name.
But Bryson Tiller. So many,
Bryson Tiller.
That's that man's whole name up. I was like, Tyler Bryson. You know what I mean? I mean, we got Bryson Gray and all of them mixed up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just cats jumping on the wave, man, throwing Christ on the records because they know like that. Sad to say, man, that the Christians that are gullible. They'll jump on, say, hey, yeah, right. And support it. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
It's going to sound controversial that I'm going to say this, but I think it's fair game. You know, granted, I'll be trying to, you know, preserve the home turf. But at the same time, when I look across even our space, like you can see, like I said before, our influences are obvious. You know, so if we biting off of what they doing, it's only inevitable that they're going to try to hop on our wave too. You know what I'm saying? So there is it's kind of like if we had a sound that was unique in and of itself, like if we had a style that did not look like the derivative of something that you could get on the secular side, I think the distinction would be so prevalent that when a secular artist does it, they'll be like, ah, you copying them Christians. But we, in the space, generally speaking, we don't have the grounds to push back on that, in my opinion. It's like, hey, bro, I mean, you sound a little Nas X's. You know, you sound a little Uzi Vert. You know what I'm saying? Like, you sound a little bit like them. And so, to me, I think it's just a call, though, to be original. But it is a indication that in the event that somebody who's not a believer in Christian hip hop listens to a record like Kobe's Back, I wanted to make it clear, like, we not alike. Like, they be using gospel in their records. If they die tonight, I hope they got somebody plead their case. Like, so I'm basically setting the line. Like, if you listening to this, we not like, don't be like, nah, that sounds like Jesus is King. No. We not alike. Like, and I want that to be made very, very plain.
Okay, next up, we got DCR.
DCR. Dear Christian rapper. Okay, so I think that might have been the first record I wrote after the albums got done. And I just I feel like I do this a lot on each project. Like, I'll have a commentary piece that could apply to whoever it applies to. And, you know, one record that I used to do that, one of my favorite records is off of Nobody Famous, Upside Down. Like, I'll critique the church and the world. Like, I critique both. And what I saw when I listened to Dear Christian Rapper is I pay attention to the fact that, as I addressed in Morning Devo, there's a lot of competition, right? There's a lot of people that are looking at what somebody else has. There's a level of, like, entitlement. There's a level of redundancy, I would say. Like, I see a lot of people kind of mimicking what somebody else is doing. And when I look at Instagram, like, low-key, like, I don't know if y'all look at it like me. Like, if y'all look at it like me and I scroll up and down the timeline, I'll be like, oh, that video looks like that video, and that video looks like that video, and that look so legitimately, like, I wanted to have a commentary where I felt like I could do that, but also address some of the current events that were happening, like the whole Cardi B and Corinthians conversation, and the whole you know, No Big Deal pushing back on Show Baraka. Like, I ain't got no problem saying names, anybody in here, but I just found like that was so silly. Like, I'm like, all right, so rap is a medium that I'm gonna use, so I'm a rap it, and we're gonna find out who's who at this point. So that's really all it was. I ain't want no smoke, but I mean, if it is some, you know, it is what it is. But it was an intention to be like, hey, look at us, look at what we're doing, like, and that's it.
Right. So on this record, I know I got like a million questions. I was listening, you know what I mean? So on this record, you said never let the art you on discourage all your counterparts.
Right.
What advice would you give to those who may have knowingly or unknowingly discouraged others by basking in their liberties? You know what I mean? For instance, some ridicule by jokingly joking about the JPM or Jesus per minute rappers, while host of others who reverence the evangelical nature of their music shame those who aren't as vocal about their faith in the music that they make.
All right, so I'm gonna tell you the political answer, and I'm gonna tell you the unpolitical answer. So the political answer is run your own race. Run your own race. Like, what God is calling you to do and who he's calling you to and to speak to. Some of us in Christian hip hop are called to preach to the choir. Some of them are, like, and they're gonna be the ones that are the doctrinal, educational Christian hip hop guys. And we're gonna walk you through Genesis to Revelation, right? That's them. And then you're going to have the people that are like, or at least they feel compelled to speak to the people that don't know God. And they could be called into that direction as well. Like, we're one body with many members. So that's the political answer. The non-political answer is shut up. Like, dog, I'm not trying to hear this all the time. I'm not trying to hear, like, these conversations are so circular and cyclical, and some have merit and some don't. And with every new generation and every new class of Christian hip hop artists, the same questions come up. The same questions. Like, I just happen to believe that in God and all of his sovereignty, he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Like, those people that's out here capping, they're going to get sat down. Like, and the people that's out here doing it for what, they may not get in front of thousands of people, but the people that are here for the right reasons, they're going to stick around. Like, run your race, man, and shut up. Like, let them do that. Like, and don't get me wrong, I do think there's a call to call out people who are obviously misleading people, right? Like, that therein is room for that, right? So if there's somebody out here who's creating content that, you know, they like, I'm a Christian artist, and they talking about F this and F that and knock down chicks and get drunk and high, it's like, hey bro, like, tighten up. You know what I'm saying? Because you need to be saying that over there then. Don't bring that this way. So I do understand that. But a lot of it that I'm seeing as far as the conflicts are concerned is really just application differences. Like, it's not even like sin versus non-sin. Like, it's like, I wouldn't do that, so you shouldn't do that. And to those people, I'd be like, shut up. Like, you not that. So don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about it, sweetheart. Don't worry about it, sweetheart.
So that's why, like, the way you're talking about this, that's why I didn't understand what DCR meant. I thought it meant dumb Christian rappers.
Nah, definitely not. But definitely a letter to the Christian rapper. So, like, if the shoe fits, it fits. Like, you know, it's one of them situations.
He thought about it. He thought about it. It was in his head. He was like, dear Christian rappers, dummy.
Yeah, right. I'm saved enough to reconsider the title. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, dumb Christian rapper. Might not go too well. So, dear sounds better.
Dear. All right. Next track. Uh-huh.
Ah, man. Uh-huh's my, like, that's one of my favorite joints. Like, and
everybody, you should have saved it, man. That joint is fire. I'm sorry.
That's one of my favorite joints, bro. But I just, it didn't fit the subsequent projects that are going to release, but it was fire, though. So I was like, yeah, like, we got to let this go. We got to let this clip go. Like, one thing is, like, I found myself in the past to be a hoarder of beats and a hoarder of records. So I have lots of records that have never seen the light of day. Like, and I'm like, nah, when you're putting together a project that's your first project in 4 years, it's like, hey, you're going to have to step right. You know what I'm saying? So Uh-huh is really just that. It's like, all right, we back outside. And really it's in contrast to the next record on the project, like, Uh-huh is calling out the stuff that, you know, I've done that imitates the industry and imitates the world. And then the next record talks about, like, falling out of love with that stuff, you know? So it was actually sequenced that way on purpose.
And that next record is The Breakup. And Cut Right, you want to ask your question and then he'll probably be able to provide more context.
But this is a dope flip of the idea used to love her. And the reason I say flip is because, like, we know a comment, and most people who I've heard redo this idea use the personification of hip-hop to tell a story of how they fell out of love, where the first half of the song, you're pointing out how hip-hop lied from the start and the sacrifices and things you did to try to earn her love that never panned out and how that led to the breakup. And I thought that was really dope, just part of the record.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he basically articulated it. I'm not going to cap. Like, I tell people now all the time, bro, I don't even listen to rap like that, like, for real. Rain Sounds, Running Water, White Noise, like, Airplane Sounds, jazz, like, instrumentals. Like, that's the type of time I'm on, because, like, rap is, you know, in general, like, it's not as... And maybe it's just me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like my breakup with hip hop is like, it's not you, it's me. Like it kind of turned into that, right? Because it's like, I don't love you no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you used to be fine. Like, I don't see it no more. Like, you just not doing it for me. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at. Like, it just, oh, that's a fire beat. Like, I don't do that as often anymore. Like, I'm not. It's whatever.
Man, I'm with you on that too, because of all the music I've had to listen to over the years. So you're on that ASMR tip where you're just trying to get, like, nice sounds into you so you can focus.
Yeah, like, I'm for real. Like, when I pray, I used to pray and had I used to have CCM in the background, like, with words. And even that started to get on my nerves. I was like, oh my God, where's the ambient sound? Like, I just want to feel like I'm in the Holy of Holies. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, to me, like, it works. It just works better. And so, like, hearing it, it's almost like listening to certain types of worship, like when you're trying to pray and meditate, it sounds like guided meditation. Like, and I'm like, shut up. I don't need to hear you. Like, this is my time with God. You know, like, I'm selfish now. So, yeah, bro, I still worship lead at church and all that. So I still sing all the time, but I definitely am not listening to, like, rap. to be like, wow, did you hear this new rap thing, this new rap project? I'm just not there no more.
The next track is Baby Steps, but I want Luke to throw in his comment because that'll, and actually Cutright's got one too. So I'll let them ask their, say their stuff, and then you could comment.
Well, yeah, we're doing a different format. So I needed to give some context to this. So whenever I do a interview with people, I do like a deep dive on their catalog. And so just so you know, I like dug in the crates. I like dug deep, bro. And I've been listening to like some stuff, right? So when it came to Baby Steps, I noticed that you pulled this line out before in one of your old songs. So you throw back to common song, The Light, with the I never had a love like this. But you also use that line from a song way back in Black Butterfly. I never had a like love. And I feel like your prowess on the mic, it can be likened to common. Do you find yourself migrating towards him because you have similar styles? Do you feel like it just connects or relates with the listener a little more easily? Or because you just like to pay respect for the people that have done it before you? Or is it something else? You know, like, I it's just curious to me because I feel like if there was any other rapper I think sounds like Jared Sanders, I could see the common connection.
Okay. So I would say this. I find that people enjoy that which is familiar, right? It almost is like a subconscious nostalgic effect, right? Like, so when you hear something that's like, oh, I heard Never Knew a Love. Okay, I know that, you know, like, and it's like light bulb. Okay, I'm interested now. So like sometimes it's a science to it, like for real. And so common is definitely, I would say, in my like personal top 10. He's probably like closer to the bottom of that top 10, but he's there. And it's just because there were certain rappers that shaped the style that I wanted to have. Like there are people that I gleaned from, like contrary to popular belief, like I gleaned from like Lil Wayne, like and Eminem and Lupe Fiasco and Kanye and Fonte and Black Thought. Like I pulled from different artists. But when we're getting to a certain tempo, some people did that better than others. And common, you know, at that particular BPM, that's the pocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's real, it's head nod music that, you know, works. And so I think there's a familiarity. Like people who really do a deep dive, they'll realize that, like, sometimes I'll point back to old songs. Like I'll point back to old lines. So that people who are fans and been supporters for a long time, they're like little Easter eggs. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas for a new person, you know, maybe they'll go back like you did and they'll listen and be like, oh, I kind of heard that before. Like, and it gives it a new life. Like, it gives it like, oh, there's a breadcrumb. Like, oh, this guy, he's trying to make sure that people are still paying attention. So I'm glad you picked that up, man. Like, I ain't gonna cap. I was surprised.
Man, work for the FBI, man. He out here deep diving through the taxes and everything. Man, for real, bro. Yo, hey, so listen, the only thing that I just say was, you know, bro, what's up with the bars is dope, but what's up with the vocalization, bro? We need more singing. You're a dope enough artist, and you can do both and be successful. What's up? We need some more me. What's up with that, bro?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, you know, I was a singer first. So I've always felt like if I'm going to do a record with singing, I don't want to rap on it at all. Like, I want to be very genuine to the process and really tap in to make, like, an actual completely song vocal project. And that's something that I've been kind of tinkering away at for some time now. So like I'm probably about 6 records in. I think I might get people like 10 or 11. So we're close, but I will say this, and I'm gonna just let y'all know, if I drop something that's an R&B record, I'm not going under my name. It's gonna be a complete alias. And okay. No, it's not going to be like Music Sand Child or nothing like that. It's not nothing like that. It's going to be a completely, and the main reason why is because, like, I feel like I'm building, thus far, I've been building a brand. And I feel like too far of a deviation from that brand may not necessarily serve it well, especially if you're going full board, like a full R&B record. Like, this isn't Drake, Honestly, Never Mind. You know what I'm saying? This is a real album where, like, I want, when I do present it to the world, for them to be like, yo, I never knew he rapped. Like, I want it to be that intentional. Like, oh, he raps? Like that. So that's what I'm working on. So yes, you will get more singing stuff. It won't be, it definitely won't be on, it won't be under my name. Like, no cap, it won't be. So, low key, like, I might feature myself on the record and actually give myself an alias on the record. Like, and that'll be the start. You know, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
double your streams.
A main, like, make my alter ego a main. You know what I'm saying? Like what J. Cole do, kill Kenny or kill, what he call himself? Kill something on KOD. Kill Robert or some name. Like, that was his, like, singing alter ego.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it works. You could double your streams that way, maybe. All right. So now you got Blessings with Mission.
Right. Yeah, like, truthfully, I've been sitting on that record for like 2 years. And I sent it the beat to Mission a couple years ago. He was like, yeah, man, let's go. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And it wasn't time yet. So so it's crazy because the verse was written. I mean, I was mumbling the hook for the record like months before, but I didn't actually start writing anything down until I sent it to him like a week later. And like, the verse was done in like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. It was like, oh yeah, we this is just fun, like vibey type record. And so that's what I decided to do. Blessing is just a fun record because I have another record that's called Blessings, and that has Vori on it, formerly of Dream Chasers. And that one was called Blessings too. Like, and so I was like, I can't put them on the same project though, because you're gonna have Blessing part one and then Blessing part two, and people are gonna be like, well, this is a whole different song. So I was like, yeah, let's not do that. Let's break it up a little bit. And me and Mish, like, I feel like we've got a decent collection of songs together where, like, the records are dope. Like, the first record I did with him was Different off of Hurry Up and Wait. That had me, him, Eris Ford, and Belief. And then the next record that we did together was Proud off of Missions Project. That might be one of my hardest feature verses, like, in a while. Like, so then I reached out for Blessing. And so we got three now, you know what I'm saying? So we in the game. And that record's, people seem to like that record a lot. You know what I'm saying? It streamed really, really well. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, maybe I need to collab with Mission more often.
Yeah. All right, next up, Arizona.
Oh man, I'm trying to get a sponsorship, bro. Like, I ain't gonna cap. Like, I'm trying to get a sponsorship, dog, whether it be Arizona Iced Tea or the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't care. Like, either one. Like, we could.
That's a sync song.
That's a sync song. Yeah. Like, cause you know, in sync, you gotta be mad covert with like the Christian messaging. Like, cause, like, granted, they want clean language, but they want you to be a little more covert with the language. And I was like, how can I talk about a message that pushes against pride and hateration? And, you know what I'm saying? How can I do that? And then I was like, oh, you don't even gotta like me. Like, and I was like, okay, let's go. Like, and it just happened to come out that way. And so, like, we'll see how it goes. I think we'll make more of a big push once it's, you know, out there to the public. because that's a real goal for us to go ahead and start pitching that more for sync.
Okay, dope. And you took this one to New York. You brought in Selah the Corner and William Cata. So back up.
Oh, man. That record was motivated by pride. I'm capping. Not pride all the way, but definitely like a, oh, y'all stop playing in my face. Like, and so it was crazy because, you know, the homie YP, like we'll joke back and forth sometimes. And I keep noticing they be like, Gritty CHH, Gritty CHH. And they be like floating this banner around. And I'm like, yo, why I don't never get brought into these conversations? Like, why you don't ever like call my phone? Like, I don't understand this. And so it was like, nah, man, nah, we trying to do something of our own. So like you already got your lane. It, you know, you do your rap thing. We do the Gritty CHH. I said, oh, okay. So you think somebody playing? All right. So I ended up making the record. Like, I heard the beat. I said, yeah, I'm about to murder somebody. Like, and so it just went that way. Like, back the heck up. If you ain't about his glory, then pack the heck. So I was like, all right, let's do, like, because I don't even listen to West Side Gun like that. I don't listen to West Side. I don't listen to Ghostface. I don't listen to none of them like that. But when I heard the record, I was like, we're going to be more aggressive this time. Like, normally I'm super laid back. I'd be like Big Sean on the record sometimes. But I was like, nah, I'm finna wild on this record. And I'm going to send it to, I'm going to send it to William and Selah, and it just happened to come out really well.
Just so happened to, as if you didn't know that this was gonna turn out. Oh,
I was
well.
Going wow, like either they was gonna step up, but they just get ran over.
So
like,
this is the call out to Gritty CHH, C4, YP, Q Flow, Prodi. This is what happens when you don't let Jared part of your crew.
Yeah, man, you know, I mean, I want to be gangster sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Why can't I be gangster? Like, I wear black hoodies and black Air Forces.
You put a Yankee hat on for the interview, too.
Yeah, you put a whole hood on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could do it, grow some dreads.
That might take a minute, though. You could have did that over the 4 years that you weren't outside. You could have been growing those dreads.
True, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. All right. We got Peace of Mind.
Yeah. So Peace of Mind was just, you know how you be like, me and God be having these interesting conversations. And I look at God, he's so majestic, he's so huge. But at the same time, I could tell, like, low key, I'd be like, God, yeah, I be acting up, but I don't want to hear you tell me that. Like, so, like, I don't want you to tell me that. So I'm going to, like, pray by myself. Like, and so that record in and of itself was me being as candid as I could with God in conversation. Like, and honestly, a part of what ended up happening is I had a couple different revisions of a part of those verses on different records. And the records just never fit the album. Like, I was like, but this one, yeah, this would go perfect. Like, so it kind of went that way for that record. It was just a conversation with God type stuff. And you know, I hope it resonates with people. Because the only other one that I would have swapped it out for was a record I got called DNA with a Fireman, who's been worked with Kanye before. But I didn't feel like CHH was going to be ready for that record just yet. So I had to go with the milder approach.
Really dug how you approached prayerlessness and how you feel Jesus responds to us. Why is it, in your opinion, is it so hard for people to pray, even as believers, when talking is the thing we do almost more than anything else in the entire world during an entire lifespan?
I think some people look at God as God and some people look at God as a father, right? And I think the conversation really kicks off. And you know, and this is, you know, in full transparency, my relationship with God significantly evolved when I stopped thinking of God like my earthly fathers, right? Because I didn't always have the strongest of relationships with my earthly fathers. So that affected my rapport with God. However, once I started to know God more for myself, and you know, you start having dialogue with God, you start to realize that he's significantly doper than like the heavenly fathers that, I mean, the earthly fathers that you could have. So for me, I think a lot of people are grappling with dealing with juggling the majesty of God versus the relatability of God, like the personhood of God. And so sometimes their prayers are like, oh God, it all in the universe, who's put all the stars in place. And yes, he's those things, right? But he's also very personal. And if you don't balance those, then I think the prayers will be hindered. And I think a lot of times people just don't pray because they don't know how to pray. They think that their prayers have to sound a certain way. And when you start thinking of God as a more of a person than just an entity, like, I think things change.
Okay. And the final track, which is kind of like two tracks stacked together. So maybe let's talk about them that way. You have Decent is the first half.
Yeah. So Decent was like me articulating where I'm at now. In the faith and in my relationship with Christian hip hop and so on and so forth, like everything's decent. Like I don't want to pretend like there aren't things that I could, you know, want, but I don't want to prevent myself from getting whatever it is that you have for me. So in that relationship, like if it's not for me to have those things, like, don't let me have those things. Like, and I never would have prayed a prayer like that. I never would have said a bar like that 4 years ago. Like, and so I'm like, hey, like, I'm good with Decent. You know what I'm saying? I'm good with, like, I like my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like her. Like, contrary to, you know, everybody's like, I love my wife. Oh, I love my wife. No, I like her, though. Like, and there's a difference there. Like, I like my kids. I like my family. And I like being around them. So if whatever it is that my individual pursuits may desire are not what God has for me to have, like, I'm cool. Like, you can have them. I don't even want them no more.
Yeah, I feel like you're almost also ending the record kind of like how you began it, right? You were talking about being gone, and then you sort of revisit that idea and the landscape of your life that's changed, and even the landscape, like, of music that happened when you were gone. So do you think things specifically changed while you were gone, maybe outside of your life, like within CHH or?
100%.
And in what way? Like, I guess what would be the most, the thing that now that you're out, you're outside again, we keep bringing that up. Now that you're outside again, you're like, dang, this wasn't like that before.
So I think that for one, there's almost like a maniacal frequency of posts from artists now. They're like way more posts, like, and they're like way more posts of the same thing at a different setting. Like, there's way more of the idea. And I think in research, it feels like what social media has become a lot of times is like television broadcasting. So what an artist is trying to do is create appealing enough content for you to want to stay on their channel for as long as you can. So the reason that you're being rewarded for frequency now is because once somebody likes what you do, whenever they hop in on the sales funnel, like, they start to go back through your stuff. Like, they start to be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. Oh man, they've been doing this for like 4 months. Let me go find out all of this stuff. Like, and so I've realized that music, a lot of times, especially CHH now, and Instagram even, is like, it's a sales funnel. Like, social media is like top of the funnel. It's the thing that introduces people to you.
And then they get down a little further into the funnel and you're like, oh, now they're streaming my projects. You know what I'm saying? And now after streaming my projects, oh, on my Spotify, it's got my merch link. Now they're buying the merch. So they're further down the sales funnel. And now you're converting them into mailing lists. You're converting them into something. And so it seems to me like because of the marketplace element that is Instagram now, and that is social media, like I'm seeing significantly more frequency, but I'm also seeing that success leaves breadcrumbs. And so you're seeing a lot of people repeat what somebody else already did. Because when I was, you know, the last time I was posting consistent visual content was 2020. We were barely outside of COVID. And I think the only people that were trying to post consistent videos at that time was like Toby Nwigwe and like me. Like, and that was it. Like one take, simple reels, 10, 15, 20, like it was that. I come back outside 4 years later and I'm like, hey, yo, like what in the world is going on? Like these people got like 40 pieces of content for one song. Like what just happened? Like, so the game has evolved. And I think that that's a good thing. But I think, like I said, the real is what is gonna like last. Like, and so what I found is you have to find out what your supporters like about you. And then you have to give them that over and over again. If you start doing what somebody else finds success in, you're going to distract your actual people from you and point them to the person that you were copying. So it's kind of dope. Like I'm not going to cap. It's kind of dope. Like I salute the entrepreneurial spirit that a lot of these guys have. You know, I just realized that my space now is to analyze what the space needs and provide that. And then that's just going to be what you get from Jared Sanders. You're not going to get what, you know, none of these other dudes are doing.
Yeah, man, you just got me like real excited to clip this piece for like an artist tip. And you completely validated a conversation I had yesterday with a bunch of like indie artists when I was talking about creating content that your fan base likes and then kind of using other content to gauge. Basically everything you just said makes me feel like that I knew what I was talking about. So I guess I'm on a good path.
And it's a guess. I mean, don't get me wrong, because it's no different than merch. You know, like there's ads that you use that are testers. And the stuff that does the most, like that gets the most attention, it's like, all right, now I could descale from the marketing budget for these things that nobody cares about. And I can start funneling the money into this place where people are going for it. This ad works, so let me use that. And when you get about four or five templates of what's consistently working for you, give that to your people over and over and over again. Like, now, is there something fanatical about that? Yes, because I can't do it. Like, if I see somebody do the same thing over and over again, I'm going to be like, all right, next. But that's not how the general population thinks. Like, the general population is Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. So anything Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I'm going to do. Like 49ers, anything 49ers, that's what I'm going to watch. Like, no matter what. And that's how the general population works. So if you can figure that out for your people, what those things are that they consistently want to see from you, go for it, man. Go for it. Because it's all a test until you figure out what works.
Yep. Yep. That's good, man. And the second half of that song, Falling Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I don't really like rapping no more, dog. Like I feel like low key, I feel like I am falling off. Like I feel like I don't care. Like a lot of the young cats in the space, like they're going and they're making like 50 videos and 50 reels, and it's like, yeah, I can't keep up with y'all, dog. Like, and so it causes you to think, well, maybe I'm cool if I don't do this no more. Like, maybe I'm cool. And me and Guy had a good conversation about that. Me and the wife had a good conversation about that. Like,
I had to ask her. I was like, yo, you cool with me dropping some music? You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually asked that question because I know what comes with the demand, right? Because as the momentum goes, you get the big push from the distro, you get the support, you start shooting videos, you start staying away from family, you start booking shows. It's like, hey, so this time you've had me for these last 4 years, that's gonna change. You know what I'm saying? You cool with that? And she was like, yeah, yeah, I'm good. Like, I think, and I was like, all right, so let's go. And at the very end of Falling Off, I actually tell people the next album's title. So, you know, kind of like the Marvel Comics movies, you know, at the very end, you got that hidden ending that kind of divulges what's next. So, yeah, the announcement for the next Avengers movie is at the end of Falling Off. So if you skip the credits, that's on you. Don't tell me I didn't tell you.
No, that's kind of what I wanted to ask you too, because you're like, I'm famous enough. I've done it. I'm tired. So it kind of almost sounds like a farewell album for you. Like, are you just laying it out there and then dipping out? I know you said you want to sing, do stuff like that, but has that come across your mind, like, maybe this is it?
Sometimes. I'll say that. I'll say, like, yes, I had this ambitious goal of having 4 projects this year, but the way that Famous Enough sounds, like, if I don't ever rap again, I'm Gucci, dog. Like, it's like, it's kind of like that. Like, if the book closes at the end of that, like, it's like, I'm not saying I'm retiring, but it's definitely Jordan over Byron Russell, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, the push off and the holding the form at the end, like, it might be that, bro. But I don't think that it's over. I just think that the desire to make music so that I could get to the next project, like, that's dead. Like, that's over. Like, if I want to make music, I'm gonna make music because I feel like it. Like, not because I owe somebody some records, I owe a label some songs or anything like that. It's like, nah, I don't foresee it being over, because me and Swoop and me and Daniel still got some work to do. This R&B project gotta get done. You know, there's still some bucket list artists in CHH that, you know what I'm saying, if the opportunity strikes, you know, and I present them the right record, I'm pretty sure something like that could get rocking. So, so I wrote, then, long story short, from May 22nd of last year until December 22nd of last year, like, I wrote 65 records and recorded 65 records. So in 4 years of absence, it sucked, but in 7 months, you know, I ended up writing 4 projects worth of music. So I think that's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, 4 years of absence, 4 albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're good. Like, we caught up, guys. Like, we're caught up. So if I don't do anything else, like, I did the counts, man, that'll be 17 projects in 9 years. So I'm Gucci, bro. Like, if I don't never, like, if I don't ever rap again, I'm Gucci. I would rather be, you know what I'm saying, like, the samurai with the all white beard with the samurai sword, and, you know, and it's like, hey, if I have to, you know what I'm saying, I'll chop somebody's head off. But, like, I would rather, like, sit down with my fingers like this, listening to the wind blow and just chilling. Like, I would be cool with that. So, and plus, like, rap is just like rap now. Like, so it's got to make me want to hop outside for me to really continue to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I remember from other times that I've interviewed you, you're like, yeah, I got about 7 projects done and I'm just going to roll them out. But then you had that 4-year absence. So now technically you could probably take another 4-year absence and you got enough content to cover it.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, hey, cause I mean, I'm dropping some bombs this year. You know what I'm saying? Optimistically speaking, like, if this is it, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'll be like, I'll show up to the Flavor Fests and stuff,
just to be a spectator. Like, I want to be one of the people that like teaches a panel. Like, I don't even want rap like on stage. Like, don't have me jumping up. Like, bro, I got a line that people are gonna hear. I said, being 40 plus in the mosh pit is embarrassing. Like, I don't want to be that. Like, as I get old, I don't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? So for me, if by my 40th birthday, I'm sitting up there cooling out, going to these conferences, talking about how to balance ministry and family life, that'll be me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be that guy. If I, you know, rapping is cool, but rapping, it don't define me anymore because I know who Jared is outside of what Jared does.
That's dope, man. Love to hear that. You and I were talking back in the fall. This project, or at least a version of this project, was supposed to drop. Weren't you supposed to do like one in October, one in November, something like that?
Yeah. So, well, actually, not. It wasn't this project. Okay,
so that's what I wanted to ask you about. What changed? I guess you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what changed with the rollout? Where's the double album fall into this? Like, what was the whole rundown that made you kind of change course on everything you were doing?
Okay, so in selfishness, right? I'm gonna tell y'all something that's an insider secret. I got tired of waiting. Okay, like so what ended up happening is when I had the album ready to go, like, I didn't have a time slot that I was going to be allowed to drop a project within. And, you know, because, you know, GOM has their calendar of events, right? And I was like, all right, let's get this project out. We ready to go. Let's go. And the schedule did not permit. So being that the schedule didn't permit, I also saw this as an opportunity because when I first came to GOM, me and Biz had a conversation. And one of the questions he asked me is, he said, so what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do musically? And I said, eventually I want to have my own imprint. And so I said, now is as good a time as any. If for anything, like, it would benefit the GOM release if I started to have some upward mobility and momentum on my own. Right. And so that's when I started making some phone calls. Me and Doc had a good conversation. I had some music that was ready to go. And he was like, yeah. And he actually kind of helped me, like, yeah, man, if you drop a project around this time, you know, you give yourself 3-4 months between and you drop another one and then you do. And I was like, oh, OK, yeah, this works. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how it came together. Initially, I knew that I had a project that was 100% done in December. Like, the double album was done in December. And I didn't have a prospective date that I was going to get a green light for it until, like, the middle of the year, this year. I was like, nah, I can't do that. Like, I can't do that. I got too much material. So, you know, me and Biz had a good conversation. So this will be one of the four projects that releases this year. And the next one is the album with GOM, and it's actually a double album. So Famous Enough is two separate albums. There's the Famous album and there's the Enough album. And they would come out at two separate times, probably about a month apart, because I don't want to space them out too crazy, because they do go together. And then, you know, probably do like a collector's edition where it's like track one through the end. But yeah, that's kind of how it went. Like, the timeline really happened because I was looking at the schedule and it just wasn't permitting at that time.
I'm going to need a Famous Enough vinyl when it comes, just so you know.
No. You know what? I said it. It's like, real talk, me and a video director named Timber House Films were talking about, Dr. Mill, were talking about doing like a short film, like really filming, like, cause we want to create some content that extends beyond the Christian hip hop space. Like, I want to create something that lives on forever. So vinyl is definitely something that is that, but I mean, I would love to direct a short film. And do like a, instead of doing like a tour like regular hip hop artists do, where they just go rap across the country, like, nah, let's like rent out some movie theaters, like 10 of them,
and go to them and premiere the short film in the theaters. Like, and that would be the tour. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think it would live on throughout the space. I'm like, let's go film festivals, man. Let's really go there. Like, if we're gonna go there, let's go there. Because I think the album deserves that kind of push. I think that album deserves that kind of intentionality. So yeah, the vinyl is definitely a thing.
Okay.
People gonna bite your idea now, right? You're gonna be, you're doing movie theater tour for an album soon as they see the episode, bro.
Man, as soon as they see what happened, and I made it a joke, like, as soon as they see what happened Friday, I feel like mad people gonna bite.
Your consistency in your art, the way that it looks, the transitional sounds of the changing TV stations, radio frequencies, the beat selection, the variety in your flows, your performances, the features you choose, all of it is so consistently good. It's so impressive to me. You are so intentional in every aspect of your art, but I know at the same time, you also share your music with a lot of people before you release. You have an open-handedness to what you do. So how do you navigate the line of consistency, fighting perfectionism, and then giving your art away and allowing feedback?
Well, you know what's funny? Like, I'm gonna keep it a bean. Like, when it comes to like the final versions of anything, I tend to be the only one with it left. Like, so a lot of people get the roughs, they get the sketches, they get the general ideas, but the finals, I tend to keep them pretty close to the chest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't let you, because I want you, generally speaking, I want you to experience the final version of the project just before it releases, so it actually sounds new. Like, one thing about learning through the creative process is, like, the roughs are cool, but, like, when you get a chance, just like actors, they're in the film, but they're not there in the post-production, right? They're like, I was there. You know, I know the scenes look really cool, but they didn't see the color grading. They didn't see the cuts, the transitions. They didn't see the edit. They didn't see what made the magic happen, right? And so, like, the creative process for me is, like, it's a process. And I think that you'd be arrogant to keep things solely to yourself if the goal is to present the best product possible. Like, when you're signed to a record label, that project passes over a lot of hands. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that hear it. Like, you got to pitch it to the radio guy to be like, which of the songs are going to work for radio? And, like, you got, if you pitch it to the person for editorials or interviews, it's like, okay, so what's going to appeal here? You send records to the DJ record pool. Like, there's certain records that are going to work and there are some that aren't. So I'm willing to cede that I don't know everything in the process. But I do know that if I can, you know, tap into the listening ears of people, because I listen to it more than anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the one that's like listening to it like, hey, man, I got to re-record that part. Like, I'm going through it way more. Like, so for me, sometimes it's to get a fresh pair of ears. Like, it's like, because I think it sounds cool, but I'm probably going to think more harshly of it than any of y'all ever will. Like, because I'm like, this is my baby. And low key, there's a part of me that never wants it to see the light of day. Because it's like, as soon as it drops, all that work and time and energy and effort is subject to how people perceive music and receive it. Like, the best steak in the world, you're going to crap it out. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter, like, how intentional you were to make garlic butter and sear the steak and make sure it's perfectly seasoned and cooked. Like, it doesn't matter. Once it's there for consumption, people are going to do with it what they will. So I try to bring people into that process prior to it actually coming out to the public, because I know that the last version, I'm the one that has it. Like, nobody else does. So they're going to hear it the same way that a first time person is going to hear it by then.
Okay, dope.
That's cool, though.
Talk about the cover for the album, like Jesus being detained by what looks like SWAT officers. Yeah. Is there a specific story or anything behind it?
I'm gonna keep it a bean. Like, so I'm gonna give y'all the political answer and I'm gonna give y'all the non-political answer. Go ahead. Okay. So the political answer is I wanted something that made people stop and think, right? And I was really I feel like it looks really Banksy-esque. Like, I feel like it looks like a Banksy piece. Like, but what I wanted to do is like show that, you know, white Jesus was smiling, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's smiling. Like, he's locked up by the SWAT, but he's like, hey, how you doing? God bless you. Like, and I feel like low key, that's what I feel like the temperament should be for us, like going out into the world, being a light, right? Like, it's like, yo, we straight. Like, we got something you don't got. Hey, you tighten up. Like, but, okay, so that's the political answer. The non-political answer. All right, so there's an art director who I was working with. There's an artist. Yo, when I tell you this was the most frustrating process ever to get this artwork from this person, it was like, and you know when you get like gaslighted by people and like they'll be like, hey man, this, I'm so excited, this is such a great idea, I have something to you in 2 days. And you'd be like, all right, bet, cool, that's what's up, you know. 4 weeks later, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, hey, bro, what's going on with the artwork? He's like, hey, man, don't pressure me. And it's like, hey, whoa, you got a little too much dip on your chip. Like, slow down. Like, don't talk crazy. But so I tell you what, since you can't do the custom artwork that I need, like, let me get some of these pre-made covers that you already have, and then we even. Like, I don't got to worry about you creating nothing. We already got this work done now. And so one of those happened to be the artwork that was chosen for Talk to Me Nice. I ain't gonna never name this designer's, you know, name on the record, but I'm gonna send a message to all of y'all not to do business with this guy ever. Like, but like he called, but I had to work with what options I had. And that one was fire. It just so happened that the artwork was fire, so it worked. He also did the artwork for Blessing for me and Missions Record. I still didn't get the custom artwork that I wanted, though. Like, so that's not the artwork I actually asked for. It's just the artwork that he had that I thought was fire. So it worked out.
Bro, I thought you did that joint on Midjourney. I was like, he went straight to the AI art. It was like Jesus getting arrested by SWAT.
Nah, it was a really talented guy. He tried to gaslight me and told me he don't got no more respect for me because I keep on asking for my artwork. And I was like, well,
you pay for, right?
I'm like, I respect honesty and integrity, so I don't care what you think. Like it is what it is. Like, so he still owe me like $50. So like it's still up there. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, maybe he really needed the oodles and noodles or whatever.
May or may not have been asked a couple other rappers I've interviewed. So I got to ask you, who is an artist you've worked with who you just know smoked you on the track?
Do you want the political answer? Or
he's not answering. He's not saying anything. He's not saying anything.
Because nobody never smoked me. That's why.
Nobody can smoke him.
So the political answer is.
That's what I was waiting for.
The political answer is. I can't recall that ever happening. I can't recall it ever happening at all. The non-political answer is, I would say this, there were definitely some verses where I was surprised that they did really well, considering the circumstances. Like, one verse that I think, like, sis AI smoked on, like, Payback, she was cooking. But at the same time, I feel like we was handicapped because, like, the dudes, we got 8 bars and she got a whole 16. So, like we was handy. We was fighting with one arm behind our back. But I don't feel like I got smoked, though. Like, I feel like my verse on that record was fire, though. Like, but that surprised me because I was like, oh, shoot. Like, give me another 8 bars. You know, what we doing? Like, or Bizzle on the Way Up remix. Like, He did. He got a whole freaking verse. Like, I had to like make do with like six bars. Like, and I, you know, and I feel like my verse on that was fire, but I had to actually like really work really hard to like make a verse so I didn't get smoked. Do you know how difficult it is to write 8 bars to somebody's 16 bars and it still be like the same level? Like, you have, like, it's very difficult when somebody right. who could really rap gets twice as much of an opportunity on the record.
Right.
So yeah, I don't feel like I've ever been smoked, but I do feel like there were some where I was like, I'm not about to get smoked. Like, y'all not about to play in my face like that. Like, so that's definitely happened before.
So would you say that AI and Bizzle are two of the best rappers you've rapped with?
Yeah, I would say that.
Who else would you put up there?
Huh?
Who else would you put up there?
Mickey Facts, Fonte. Yeah, those are the two best that I've rapped with. Mickey Facts and Fonte. But I would say in the Christian rap space, for sure. Like Bizzle, Dayton. Hey, I feel like low-key G-O-M, like, is a cheat code. Like, because right. you're getting really good rappers if you right. get a feature from them, right? So, right. So yeah, I would say that Fonte and Mickey Facts, both of them are probably the two best that I've actually collaborated with.
We got one more game. And I'm like rethinking through, I should have picked something different. I have a feeling that he's going to be good at this. So we'll just see. Nobody, I will tell you though, like, this is our 18th episode. Nobody's good at this part, but it's really fascinating to us every time. So we're just going to do it.
So
this one's called Run It Back. Like I said, I dig in the crates. I go find some old stuff. I dust off some old verses. And right. so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start quoting one of your old verses. If you can continue the rhyme scheme, that's a point. If you can say what the name of the song is, that's a point. If you can say what album it's on, that's a point. Sometimes people can just do one of those things. Sometimes people can do them all. Well, actually, I don't think anybody's ever been able to do it all, but yeah, we'll just see. So I've got 3 songs for you. I'm going to just start quoting to you and we'll see if you can do it.
Okay.
All right. Here's the first one. Oh my, what a guy, Firefly Hooligan.
Who was that? Who was him, brother? Who was that? Who was them? Two of them. Look at them. Like, man, that's like superstar. Oh my, what a guy. Firefly, Hooligan. Who was that? Who was him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember that whole line. But that's
flow is like two of them. Look at Swim. Yeah. Who the thought? Yeah. Read and weep. Who the talk?
Yeah, that's old school, bro. Like, yeah, but that's superstar. That was off of Sorry for the Delay. Yep. That was pre Salvation Jared. That was pre-Salvation Jared. Man, yeah. You went super far back. I don't even got them rhymes in my phone, bro. Like,
yeah, it's good that you knew it though, because a lot of times the rappers like, that's me. Like, they have no idea that that's a song they even wrote.
But yeah, that don't even sound when like he me. Said it, I was like, dag, I haven't rapped that verse in 6-7 years. Easy.
It's 2014, dude. That song.
Yeah. Dude, so crazy. I just found that in like the last week, and that whole album is really good, man.
Yeah,
it's
really
good.
And your style there was wild.
But your style hasn't changed though. Your style, you still rap the same. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's crazy. Okay, here's the second song. Kind of gnarly, bruh. Pass out on the party Bacardi cups, oats and barley pubs and the Marley puffs.
My Harley hard in the mind. You Harley thug hard, but the bars cleaned up. Music in the mind. What is it? Harley hard, but the bars cleaned up. Music to the ear like guitar string plucks. Dang, what is that joint? Give me a second. Hard, bar cleaned up. Music to the ear like guitar string plucks. You Harley thug.
Music to the ear like guitar string plucks is where I'm thinking. Music to the ear like guitar string plucks. What in the world is like?
That part is right. Music to the ear like guitar string
plucks. Yeah, you got it.
But yeah, the next line, though, you got to get the next line.
Music to the... What's the next line? I can't remember the next line.
Give him the next. Give me the next line.
I'm in tune with the bunch like Darkwing Duck.
I'm in tune with the bunch like Darkwing Duck. That line sounds so familiar. Yeah, I can't remember the song. I can't remember the song.
It's but a freestyle. I know the line. It's a freestyle from 2016.
Is that from the DJ Booth freestyle?
No, I don't think so. No, this was I think it was a Rapzilla freestyle, actually. We're the ones that put it freestyle? Out. Something like that. The artwork on it looked like it had Rapzilla at the bottom. Maybe someone stole it. But I think this had like five verses on it. Child of the King is the name of the song.
Oh my gosh, no. Yes, it is a Child of the King. Oh no. Yes, it is. It is. That's off of Hope is Dope. That's Child of the King.
Okay. Okay. That's what it was. Okay. Someone, yes, you know how it is. If I'm looking on YouTube, people just take like whatever screenshot or whatever just so they could show it's Jared Sanders, you know. So yeah, I don't know.
Word. Yeah, I remember. All right. Now I remember it. Yeah, that's the last verse of the song.
God. Okay. And then this last one, I know you're going to get this last one, but this is one of my favorite verses from you. So I couldn't not do it. I had another one, but Justin said, keep it to three. So here we go. Look up, man. Look what God cooked up. Could have took us with the beam and a touch, but good God, that's mean in the clutch.
Look what God cooked up. Could have took us with a beam and a touch, but good God, that's mean in the clutch. Teaming it up with a rough bunch and a don't play game like putt-putt. Gotta let God be the gut punch. He's running a play like hut-hut if you're really trying to have a dust-up. Yeah, that's way up, the remix.
Yep.
That's off of the, I think he put that on the GOM project. I think he did.
Yeah, I think he had it on his Lightwork project. He did like a...
Oh, that's
because
right.
The original was Seven was on his first light work, and then on the next one he did this remix to it. Yeah,
yeah,
it was crazy.
That one was that's the one I was saying. Like Bizzle came in, G O M. This is the remix.
Oh yeah, this is crazy.
Rip it to pieces. I'm like, you're not gonna body me. You're not handicapping me and thinking I'm about to get smoked. Like it's not. So yeah, I remember that one for sure. That's the one that. People was like, oh, Jerrica, rap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. You're a good, you're great at that, actually. He was probably the best of that.
Yeah, we'd have to go back. There was like one or two other that were pretty good, but this was like a top, this was a oh, top three performance. The top three performance.
I saw Derek Minor didn't know the words to his song.
He was the one. He's like, that was me?
None of them. None of them.
All right, I just get in the booth and turn press play.
Wasn't D1 good at? I felt like D1 was good at everything.
I couldn't find anything before. Sorry for the delay, though. I was really looking.
Yeah,
and I know you had been around.
So sorry for the delay was like the condensed version. So the first project I dropped was called While You Were Waiting, and that was like an EP. Okay. And then I did. Sorry for the delay, the EP, which was like eight songs that had Black Butterfly, that had Rockefeller Chain, that had All I Think About. And then when I decided to go, you know, say, all right, I'm giving my raps up for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like the old distributor took all the old stuff and combined it.
Okay.
Sorry for the delay, like a whole compilation. Like, I remember that because DJ Official, like, he really rocked with that project. Like, I was like,
Like, what? Like, this is, you know, so he was a fan, man.
Yeah. You put it out with DJ Booth? Is that what you did?
Yeah. Sorry for the delay. While you were waiting, both of them dropped in. Cause I'm really cool with DJ Z. Like, Brian ended up, you know, he created his own Audio Mac. Like, this was when Audio Mac first kicked off. And so, I remember he made me like a verified user, like on Audio Mac, cause I was like one of the first like 500 people. And, yeah, then I met Skyhook from, DJ Revolution and Sway in the Morning. I met them through Brian. And so I never got the chance to, like, you know, formally thank him in person. But yeah, Brian helped put me on, man. He really did.
That's cool. That's cool. It was really dope. I'm glad I could find it that way. I just, I had to, like, you know, when you're Googling and you're like, you don't want to find new stuff, you got to like put a minus before everything that keeps coming up. And just keep going back farther. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, random tangent. Sorry, guys. I was just geeking out for a second.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, you're good. I mean, it worked. I mean, it works out. Those are the things that are always fun, man. Bringing back Child of the King. Oh, come on, man. Yeah.
Listen, yeah. Every artist who comes on this show tells us that this is one of the best or most fun interviews they've ever had. So, If that's what it takes to make Jared feel good, bringing up some nostalgia, that's what we got to do. That's the name of the game.
I'm with it, man. I'm with it.
So Jared Sanders has just run the gauntlet of Penn Game 101 with us. He took us to school. He played the games, did pretty well. We discussed the pen and broke down the album. Jared, how are you feeling after you've run through the entire show with us?
Exhausted, man. Like, I'm going to keep it a bean. Like, freestyling, I haven't done that in so long. So thank you for forcing me to think again. Like, because low-key, I did. I felt like, all right, I think I'm getting the feel of this again. You know what I'm saying? But that was fun. The nostalgia, pulling back some of the old records was cool, too. And, yeah, man, I thank y'all for having me, dog. Like, it's an honor to be back outside again. If even for just this year, it's an honor to be back outside and be outside with people that, you know, I feel like have genuinely been concerned about, you know, anything that I have to say. You know what I'm saying? So that's always a dope thing.
All right, bro. Well, we're so pleased to have you. It's been a long time coming. So glad that you were able to do this. And man, everybody go and check out Talk to Me Nice. And then stay tuned for what's coming, because what's coming sounds incredible and we haven't heard it yet. All right, yo. Peace, everybody.